I'd ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 15. There we'll read the first seven verses. Hear now God's holy word. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." So far, the reading of God's holy word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as the shepherd David went about his earlier daily work of tending sheep, and as he reflected on his relationship with God, he realized that there was a vital connection. The loving care that he gave for his sheep was like the loving care he received from God. So David began his very familiar psalm to all of us by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then David proceeded to list all the things that the Lord, his shepherd, did for him, laying him down in green pastures, leading him beside still waters, restoring his soul, walking with him through Death Valley, anointing his head with oil, and filling his cup with overflowing joy. And it was to this great shepherd that Israel of old always looked to for help and for salvation. In times of trouble, they would pray as in Psalm 80, "Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a rock. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved." This great truth that God is the good shepherd was further developed by the prophets. Isaiah emphasized God's loving care for his sheep in Isaiah 40, verse 11, saying, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." But some of the prophets also pointed out a problem. God had entrusted the work of his shepherding care to the spiritual leaders of his people, but they were not always good shepherds. God says in Ezekiel 34, verse 4 and following, "You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched or looked for them." According to the prophets, some of the sheep were lost and scattered and they were in trouble. But there was still hope, for the good shepherd himself would come to seek and to save his people. God gives this message to his people in Ezekiel 34, verse 11 and following. "This is what the sovereign Lord says, 'I myself will search for my sheep and seek after them. As a shepherd seeks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will seek after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered.'" And it is this that we see again so beautifully in our passage this morning. I bring you God's word with the following theme: the good shepherd seeks and saves the lost sheep. Beloved, what the scripture said about the shepherds was familiar to anyone who knew the Old Testament. It certainly would have been familiar to the scribes and the Pharisees who were making trouble for Jesus in his earthly ministry. These men claimed that the Lord was their shepherd and considered themselves to be spiritual shepherds of Israel, yet they failed to recognize Jesus as the answer to God's promise to come and to save his people. Nor did they see themselves as part of the problem. We read in verse 1 and 2, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Beloved, in those days, tax collectors were social and spiritual outcasts. Because they were part of the Roman bureaucracy and because they collected money from fellow Israelites, they were considered traitors to the people of God. And the word sinners here in our text was a catch-all phrase for people who had a notorious reputation for bad behavior, thieves, drunkards, prostitutes, and anyone else who refused to conform to the holy habits of the religious community of the Pharisees and the scribes. And members of the religious establishment stayed as far away from such people as they could, believing that any contact with these kind of people would contaminate themselves. As far as the scribes and the Pharisees were concerned, sinners and tax collectors belonged outside of Israel, outside of the faith, outside of the church, and outside of God. But as far as Jesus was concerned, it was exactly for these kinds of people that he came into the world. Their sorry condition was exactly why Jesus was receiving them and eating with them. These outcasts were the lost sheep of Israel, the very people that Israel's shepherds were supposed to rescue, and the very people that Jesus himself, as the great shepherd, had come to save. And to make this clear, Jesus tells this parable. And the first thing that we see from this parable is the great shepherd's quest for his sheep, the patient endurance of the shepherd as he seeks until he finds. We read in verse 4, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" Beloved, a man with 100 sheep was doing rather well financially. He could probably afford to lose a sheep or two, but the shepherd cared for each of his sheep and knew how helpless a sheep was on its own. And by the time the shepherd begins his quest for the lost sheep, the sheep was already in a dangerous position. Sheep are too disoriented to find their way home. And as soon as they stray, they are defenseless against almost any danger. Sooner or later, a lost sheep will fall from some vertical or steep face of a rock or cliff or mountain, or die of starvation, or get torn apart by a wild beast. Sheep do not adapt well to the wild. When they wander, they can only wait to be rescued. Well, beloved, what a picture this is of our own spiritual condition. We read in Isaiah 53, verse 6, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." Beloved, apart from Christ, we are lost in the rocky wilderness, wandering in the wasteland. We fall into sin and starve for lack of spiritual food. To our terror, Satan is roaring around like a wild beast to devour us. And if God does not save us, then we will surely be destroyed. But our passage makes clear that God in his grace does save us. Like the shepherd in the parable in verse 4, Jesus goes after the one which is lost until he finds it. When we are lost, when we have wandered on the far hills of disobedience, when we are alone and afraid, when we are wounded and weak, when we are defenseless against our enemies, when we are unable to save ourselves, It is just then that Jesus comes to rescue us. One of the central themes in the Gospels is what Jesus later says in Luke 19, verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And here in this parable, Jesus compares that seeking and saving work to a shepherd's quest for his lost sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd who travels the wild terrain, so to speak, climbs the steep hill, goes down into that rocky ravine, and braves every danger to find his lost sheep. And you can be rest assured that he will keep looking until he finds what he is looking for. As we see in verse 4, the good shepherd will not stop searching until he has achieved the goal of his quest. With patience and endurance, he seeks until he finds. As Jesus said in John 6, verse 39, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day." Beloved, what Jesus does as the great shepherd is truly remarkable. Ordinarily in life, a man wealthy enough to have 100 sheep would send someone else to find the lost sheep. He would not spend his days tramping over the wilderness for any purpose. But Jesus humbly came to seek the lost, taking on the poor dress of our humanity so that he could bring us back to the fold of God. Nor was it only one sheep out of 100 that Jesus came to find. He must track down every last sheep because the whole flock was lost. As we read in Isaiah 53, verse 6, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way." What is clear is that there is not one single sheep that started out in God's fold and stayed there, you could say. We were all lost. Therefore, Jesus has a quest that is 100, a million, a billion times harder to fulfill. But he will do it. He will fulfill God's ancient promise in Ezekiel 34, verse 11, where he says, "I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." Beloved, what a marvelous hope this gives to anyone who is lost in the spiritual wilderness or has wandered away from God or has been wounded by this fallen world. Jesus is always seeking to come and to rescue you. All God's sheep will be rescued. None will be left behind. Every last suffering, straying believer will be carried home to God. Though we may be shriveled and scabby, once we are in God's flock, we belong to Him forever. The great shepherd will never give up on us or let us go. As Jesus says in John 10, verse 28, "I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." But now, beloved, it is one thing to find a lost sheep, but another thing entirely to bring it back home. In our parable, not only does the shepherd fulfill his quest in finding the sheep, but now he must shoulder the burden of carrying the sheep home. We read in verse 5, "And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." It is not hard to picture this scene. Once the shepherd has found his lost sheep, he joyfully drapes it around his neck, firmly grasping its four legs together in front of him, and starts the long trek home. Here's a relationship of astonishing intimacy. The shepherd can feel the weight and the warmth of his sheep, the rise and fall of its breathing, the beating of its heart. The sheep is close enough to nuzzle the shepherd's face, so to speak. Exhausted by its struggles in the wilderness and too weak to walk back home, the sheep has found safety and security in the shepherd's arms. And this was no easy burden. A full-grown sheep weighs more than 100 pounds. It took a good measure of physical strength to carry a sheep back to the fold, especially if it had wandered far into the wilderness. But the shepherd was able and willing to bear that burden. In fact, our text tells us that he puts the sheep on his shoulders, rejoicing. Beloved, what comfort this gives to all of us as his sheep. Weary and worn, we do not have the strength to go home. Nevertheless, we are lifted up by mighty arms and gently carried back to the fold. Here we see the answer to the prayer of David in Psalm 28, verse 9, where we read, "Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." Beloved, this prayer, along with so many others, is fulfilled in the shepherding ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what we need to especially understand is the heavy burden Jesus shouldered for our salvation, the great burden that he carried on our behalf. Even as Jesus was teaching this parable, Jesus was getting ready to do the heavy lifting of our redemption. It was not just one lamb that he needed to carry, but every last sheep in God's flock. And the place that he needed to carry us was to the cross. There on the cross of Calvary, he placed upon his shoulders all the sheep that he has found. That is to say, he transferred to himself the burden of us all. And what a burden this was. When Jesus lifted us up, the burden he had to bear was the dead weight of all our sin, the sin that killed him on the cross of Calvary. Earlier we heard the words of Isaiah 53, which says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way." And now listen to how this verse ends. "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Beloved, our Savior, the great shepherd, had to do something more than just simply bring his sheep home. He also had to suffer and bear the punishment for our sin. Isaiah 53 verse 12 continues to prophesy of the agonies of Jesus' crucifixion and says, "He poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Jesus did not simply come to lift us up in the troubles of life, although we can praise God that he does lift us up. But Jesus came mainly to bear the weight of our sin and to do so by dying in our place on the cross. We read in 1 Peter 2, verse 24 and following, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Beloved, Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, as he says in John 10. This is the great wonder that our great shepherd has done for us. He has found us. He has lifted us up. He has carried our burden, and he carries us home to him. And we need to note again that our text says that rejoicing, the shepherd puts the sheep on his shoulders and goes home. Here we catch a glimpse of the joy that Jesus has in bringing us to God. Even our great joy in being saved does not surpass the joy the great shepherd has in saving us. We read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame." That's amazing. Beloved, having suffered the agony of crucifixion, Christ's joy is to come and to find lost sinners who are still wandering in the spiritual wilderness. His joy is to send out his gospel and by the Holy Spirit work in the hearts of all those who are his sheep and welcome us home to the Father. No one enjoys the salvation of a sinner more than Jesus does. And this joy is also something that Jesus wants all his people to celebrate with him. Verse 6 goes on to say, "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.'" As he comes home in triumph, with the spoils of victory draped around his neck, he wants the whole community to gather together in spontaneous celebration. Every time a lost sinner is brought home, there is to be great joy and thanksgiving. The key note of this parable is rejoicing, the joy of God in finding what is lost. This is always call for rejoicing. In fact, Jesus goes on to bring a practical conclusion to this parable by saying in verse 7, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Beloved, what does Jesus mean here by this? Some say that what Jesus was saying was that although heaven always rejoices in the just, in the righteous, it rings with even greater joy anytime a new sinner comes to Christ. But think about it. Who is ever so just that they do not need to repent? There is none. The scripture tells us that we've all gone astray and that there's no one righteous, no, not one. So we all need to repent. So when Jesus talks here about the just persons who need no repentance, he was taking a sharp jab at the Pharisees who were so sure of their own righteousness that they didn't even think that they needed to repent. Sadly, their spiritual pride kept them from seeing what this parable was all about. The Pharisees were grumbling and muttering that Jesus received sinners and that he was eating with them when they should have been rejoicing. Jesus wanted them to celebrate the work he was doing to save the lost sheep of Israel, but all they wanted to do was criticize. It's why Jesus even starts the parable by saying to them, "What man of you?" Jesus was practically inviting them to share in his shepherding work. Yet these men were so far out of sympathy with Jesus that they had no joy in finding the lost. They did not think anyone else was worthy to be saved. Although they did not realize it, they themselves were like the lost sheep in the wilderness. Beloved, Jesus wants us to share the joy that he has in finding the lost. We share in our shepherd's rejoicing when we admit that we were all gone astray and needed him to come and to find us. We share his rejoicing when we rejoice in the fact that he is carrying us back home again in his arms. And we sing in our hearts, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." And being saved by him, we share the shepherd's rejoicing by having his heart for the lost sheep. We share his joy by joining in the quest to seek out all those who are lost spiritually. It means having compassion for the lost, for those who are wandering. It means loving them and praying for them and going after them with the gospel, and rejoicing when they are brought back into the fold by the good shepherd. Beloved, in closing, it is easy to be as cynical as the Pharisees, thinking that some people are beyond redemption and not wanting to get involved with their problems. But we are to take on the mind and the heart of the good shepherd who received sinners and ate with them. Sinners like you and me. In this way, we will also share in his joy when sinners are found by him and brought within his fold. Amen. In response to God's word this morning, let us turn in our Psalters to number